creation and fall of man last couple weeks, and now we're looking at original sin. As you read that, it's a pretty hard statement to make, isn't it? To accept the fact that we are totally unable in any way to honor God in Adam. That we are fallen. We are totally depraved. We are totally unable. We are without hope. Paul goes on to say we are dead. And he included himself. He was born dead. Were you born dead? Were you born separated from God? And the answer is yes. In Adam, we died. We were born dead. And then, when did you die? In Christ is the hope. Original sin is extended, as it says, to all mankind. Pelagius taught that all of us are born with a blank slate, just a white sheet of paper, and then we go about marking it up every time we sin. It's not true. In Adam's fall, as the Puritans used to say, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. You and I sinned when Adam sinned. And the death that came through sin comes to us all. We all die. That is the fruit of sin. Do babies die in the womb? I have three children that we miscarried three times. Three children died in the womb. Apart from Christ, where are they? In Christ, where are they? I believe they're in heaven. And I can give you the scriptures to point to it if you ask. Notice also, he uses the analogy of a disease, a hereditary disease. The point is that we all have it. We all are born with it. And the fruit of it is because of the root of it. From sin, we are sin in Adam, and what does a fruit tree produce? A sin tree produces sin. A fruit tree produces a fruit. And God condemns them. And notice it says it is sufficient to condemn all mankind. And that's where we have to start. When we understand the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God, we understand it in the context of condemnation, justice, judgment. We all deserve judgment in Adam, and then we follow suit. We understand justice, then mercy is mercy. Can you define mercy without referring to justice? No, not the proper definition of mercy. Mercy is what? Not getting what you deserve. The getting what you deserve is justice, right? The wages of sin is death. You deserve death. I deserve death. But the gift of God is eternal life. That's mercy. Not getting what you deserve. And so we always have to start with the justice of God. Then we can understand the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the faithfulness of God, the long-suffering of God, and on and on. We have to start with the right place. And that's what this article is attempting to do. We have hope in the gospel. God saves sinners. But notice it says, but yet even those who are saved, we still deal with sin, don't we? He says, it's neither abolished or wholly eradicated, even by being born again, even by the work of the Spirit of God making us a new creature in Christ. We still have this problem. We have sin in the members. Paul says we have the flesh we have to war against. The flesh wars against what? The Spirit. Then the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so we don't do the things we're supposed to do. We're dealing with sin in our members. We're dealing with the old man. Paul goes on to say, he calls it this body of death in Romans chapter 7. Who can deliver me from this body of death? I want to do this which pleases God, and I find myself doing the opposite. And it's not me, but it's sin that dwells in me. Oh, who can deliver me from this body of death? That's the cry of the regenerate person. The non-Christian says, I don't care. So what? Whatever. But the believer, as it says, are often to sigh, desiring to be delivered from this body of death. That's the work of the Spirit of God in your life. I hate sin. I hate it. Why? Because it It's slapping God in the face. It is displeasing to God. I have this little book. I don't know if you've ever read this or looked at it. It's called The Valley of Vision. It's a bunch of Puritan prayers. And if you read that, so many of the prayers, I just opened this one. It's the broken heart. So many of these prayers are, Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, Lord, how I have sinned against you. Just from this one, no day of my life has passed that has not proved me guilty in your sight. Prayers have been uttered from a prayerless heart. Praise is often praiseless sound. My best services are filthy rags. Blessed Jesus, let me find a covert in your appeasing wounds. And so he focuses on Christ. But the point is, do we cry? Does it break our hearts? What breaks God's heart? Do you argue for the horribleness of your sin? Yes, notice what it says, that we are forgiven. By his grace and mercy, we are forgiven. But that should mean that what do? We rejoice and we say, okay, Lord, now help me to walk in a way that pleases you. You love me. I love you. And so help me, Lord. Let me not be passive. Let me be responsive. Let me have that heart of David when he was convicted and cried out concerning his sin. Amen? Amen. Amen.